Well, let me extend my welcome to that of Roy. It's lovely to have you here with us, especially if you're new or visiting or you're not normally here with us regularly on a Sunday morning. It's great to have you join with us today at our Good Friday service. And please do take up our offer of the hot cross buns and the coffee and the Easter egg hunt afterwards. That'll be lovely to spend some more time with you this morning. During the lead-up to the recent state election, I had a knock at the door. Not that all that unusual for us, given we live behind the church as we do, but normally it's someone from church. So when I opened the door, I was surprised to find a lady who looked vaguely familiar, but I didn't recognise straight away. When she introduced herself, I realised who she was. It was Mary-Ann Stewart, the Labor candidate for our local area and now our recently elected state member. She was very polite, introduced herself, explained what she was doing, going around the neighbourhood, meeting people, and she asked me if I had any issues that were of particular concern to me. I was still recovering from the surprise of who she was, and I don't think particularly well on my feet at the best of times, so I think I fumbled and mumbled something on the lines of, "No, not really." Which for anybody is a pretty bad effort, but for a pastor of a church, that is really ordinary, isn't it? Surely I could have come up with something a bit better than that. But if I was anything like the vast majority of voters in our state, my response to her question about whether I had any particular concern would probably have centred around money, financial issues. We heard a lot about it, didn't we, in the lead up to the state election. In fact, before the election, voters were surveyed, as they normally are, to try and work out what were the top issues. And perhaps unsurprisingly, 93% of voters nominated rising prices as their top concern. They pointed to the price of fresh food and groceries, utility bills, medical expenses, mortgage rates, and the rate of inflation, all as being reasons for why rising prices were their top concern. But really, it's no surprise, is it, that cost of living, finances, money was the number one election issue, because deep down, it's number one in so many of our lives, isn't it? I don't want to downplay how hard it has become for you and your family to make ends meet. It has become hard lately, hasn't it? But the reality is that while money makes a good servant, it makes for a lousy master. Haven't you found that? If you're living for the mighty dollar, it's never going to satisfy. It'll never deliver what you're looking to get from it. If the answer to the question, how much is enough, is always just a little bit more than I've got, that surely says something to us, doesn't it? To help us to see that this morning, I want to introduce you to a rich man. A rich man who became a changed man through meeting the Son of Man, Jesus. Have a look with me at the part of the Bible that Renee read out for us earlier. It's printed on the handout you might have received on your way in, or it's also on page 1018 in the church Bibles. Have a look with me at Luke chapter 19 from verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. In the space of just a few sentences, we're told a lot about this man, aren't we? We're told his name. It's Zacchaeus, which interestingly means pure or righteous. Which is a bit ironic, because we're also told his occupation. He was a tax collector. And in fact, he's not just a tax collector, he's a chief tax collector. Now, why that is significant is that back in Jesus' day, tax collectors were looked down upon and despised. Of course, a tax man is still pretty unpopular for us today, but it was even worse back in Jesus' day. They collected money from their fellow Jews to give to the hated occupying power, Rome. And this guy Zacchaeus, he's at the top of the ladder. He's reached the pinnacle in his line of work. in his field. He hires the tax collectors who collected those funds. They were known for making sure they got a tidy profit from what they were doing, so you can just imagine how well he's doing. In fact, we don't have to imagine, because we're also told his financial status here, aren't we? Zacchaeus, he was doing very well for himself, thank you very much. He was wealthy, Luke tells us. Of course he was. In that line of work, with that kind of occupation, being at the top of the tree, he couldn't have been anything else, could he? But as well off and successful as he might have been, his wealth is actually a problem. On that deeper and more important spiritual level, it can cause issues, can't it? Don't you feel that for yourself? When we start doing okay and build for ourselves a bit of a cushion, we can start to depend on ourselves. Keep God at a distance rather than relying on him, the one who gives us life and breath and everything else. Money, finances, it can so easily shift from being a servant to being a master, to being number one. Zacchaeus, he's someone who goes about life for his own gain, even if it comes at the expense of other people. His wealth is a problem because in the chapter just before this one, Jesus has said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What a ridiculous picture when you stop and think about it. And that's exactly Jesus's point, isn't it? So if Zacchaeus, this rich man, is ever going to be in the right with God, if he's ever going to set himself up not just for this life but for the life to come, if he's ever going to have a relationship with the one who made him, God's going to have to do something to thread him through the eye of a needle. Do the impossible. Such is the vice-like grip that money has on us. Zacchaeus has also got another problem, hasn't he? He's probably not all that aware, all that conscious of the problem that wealth causes him. He's probably enjoying his life too much to realise that. But he's all too aware of this being a problem, isn't he? In addition to his name, his occupation, his financial status, we're also told something about his physical attributes, something that anybody who looked at him could tell and could realise. Zacchaeus was, as we might say today, vertically challenged. We're told he was a short man, which proved a problem given something else we're told about him. See, this day he was interested in seeing Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, we're told. And if you've ever been in a crowd and the people in front of you are just that little bit taller than you, you can appreciate Zacchaeus' situation and how he's feeling. The crowd prevented this short man from seeing Jesus. But in here, this is the last thing we find out here about Zacchaeus. He's clearly also a resourceful man, isn't he? He comes up with this creative solution to his problem. He runs ahead and he climbs a sycamore fig tree so that he can see this man Jesus who is passing through and coming his way. And it's shortly after that that everything changes for Zacchaeus. His world gets turned upside down. This rich man becomes a changed man. Have a look again at the Bible passage printed for you from verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." You can't help but notice the remarkable change that's come about for Zacchaeus as a result of salvation coming to his house. He's a changed man now because he's a saved man. Jesus says he's part of the family of Abraham, that great father of faith, by responding in the way he has. See, have a look at the change that Jesus brings about in Zacchaeus' life. In the midst of the muttering and grumbling from other people, Zacchaeus pledges and commits himself to something extraordinary, doesn't he? Half of his no doubt extensive possessions he's going to give to the poor. And if he's cheated anybody, clearly the implication being that that's exactly what he's been up to, he's going to pay them back fourfold. Four times the amount. The normal amount for this kind of behaviour was to pay back the amount plus one-fifth, plus 20%. But Zacchaeus, he's going to pay back four times the amount. You see, great grace has produced great generosity, hasn't it? It's a remarkable change, isn't it? Instead of being ruled by his money, having his life dominated by money, ripping other people off in order to get more money, Zacchaeus, he's prepared to give his money away. He's set on making right the wrongs that he'd done. Because money's not his master anymore, is it? It's his servant. Notice also that Zacchaeus does all this with joy. You see, Jesus' intrusion into his life, it's cause for gladness, for joy in the life of Zacchaeus. See, he welcomed Jesus gladly, it says. That's different to the way most people think about Jesus, isn't it? See, most people have the view that he's going to spoil things, that he'll make things worse, that he's going to wreck your life. Doesn't seem to be the case when it comes to Zacchaeus, does it? See, Jesus, he's not a killjoy. He's actually the source of joy. See, Jesus has brought Zacchaeus more than he could have expected or hoped. Jesus always brings more than could be expected or hoped for. See, all that Zacchaeus had wanted, remember, was to see who Jesus was. But he gets so much more, doesn't he? So much more. He gets so much more precisely because of who Jesus is. This one who calls himself the Son of Man. No one walks away from meeting him and remains unchanged. This rich man becomes a changed man through meeting the Son of Man, Jesus. Jesus has already shown himself to be something quite different already, hasn't he? Walking up to the tree and calling Zacchaeus by name. I mean, how did he know his name? Insisting that he must stay at Zacchaeus' house. A strange move by someone who's become known as a righteous teacher when Zacchaeus was known to have been a sinner. That's why the people muttered and grumbled as they did. And clearly there's power in Jesus' words, isn't there? Because Zacchaeus immediately does exactly what he's told. But the most significant thing about Jesus that we're told here comes at the very end of the part of the Bible that was read for us. It's the very thing that we've come to remember and celebrate this morning. It's what makes this day Good Friday. You see, it's precisely for people like Zacchaeus that Jesus has come. See what Jesus says right at the end there in verse 10. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." In some ways, the term Son of Man can just refer to a human, a man, any man. But throughout the Gospels, Jesus deliberately uses the term because it picked up on an Old Testament reference from the book of Daniel, where we see that there is one like a Son of Man who is given all authority and power and honour. It's extremely significant that Jesus should refer to himself this way. And why did he come, this Son of Man? Well, the Bible actually gives us a lot of different answers to that question. But for this morning, we're just going to focus on what we're given here. He came to seek and to save what was lost. Firstly, to seek. Did you notice that Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus at the beginning, wanting to see Jesus? But all the while, even before Zacchaeus had had that thought or that desire, Jesus was the one seeking him. See, he was just passing through Jericho, but he stops for this one man. He finds him sitting in that sycamore fig tree, and he steps into his world. He intrudes into his space and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. But notice as he steps into Zacchaeus' world, as he intrudes into Zacchaeus' space, seeking Zacchaeus out, it's not to condemn him for what he's done. It's not to judge Zacchaeus for how he's acted and behaved, though that would be entirely deserved. He's come to seek and to save the lost. See, as the Son of Man, this one to whom all authority and honour and power is given, he was perfectly within his rights. It was in his remit, his brief, to condemn and to judge. But what has he come to do? To seek and to save. You see, Jesus, he's passing through Jericho because he's on his way somewhere else. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Back in chapter 9 of Luke, at the beginning of what's a really long section in this gospel that concludes here with Zacchaeus, we're told that Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. He sets his face like flint for Jerusalem. Why? Because that is why he'd come. To die on a cross just outside the city. He lived his life to give his life. See, that's real cost of living, isn't it? He left his riches and became poor for us and for our salvation. He came to seek and to save the lost. People like Zacchaeus. People like you and me. I wonder if you see yourself that way. See, on the outside, Zacchaeus would have looked like he's got it all together, wouldn't he? On any of the key performance indicators for life, he's made it, hasn't he? But for his part, Jesus sees him as lost. And if we don't see ourselves in that same way, that apart from a relationship with Jesus, we are lost as well, we're really going to struggle to understand why Jesus even came. And we're never going to understand why he would give his life on a cross. See, the Bible's perspective is that like Zacchaeus, we have all wanted to keep God at a distance. We've all chosen in one way or another to live life for ourselves, which means that we are lost because it's not what we've been made for, which is why we need seeking and saving, which is exactly, thankfully, what Jesus has come to do. You see, as you encounter this Jesus on the pages of the Bible this morning, will you, like Zacchaeus, respond by accepting his seeking and saving of you, by welcoming his intrusion into your life, by turning and trusting this rescuer who gave his life for you that very first Easter, by committing yourself to living in a new and changed way, because you've met him as well. Because no one who ever truly meets him stays the same. A rich man becomes a changed man through meeting the Son of Man, Jesus. Will that be your story too? How about we pray? Let's pray. Dear God, we are sorry for the ways in which we've put other things before you. Our money and possessions, our comfort and security, other people, ourselves. We thank you again this day for Jesus being willing to seek and to save the lost, us, all the way to his death on the cross. Please help each one of us to welcome and accept him gladly, and the change that he brings to our lives. Amen.